And welcome as we come to worship today. If you're here for the first time present in the building, we bid you a really warm welcome. My name's James. I'm the minister here and be leading us through the service today. If you're joining us online, we want to bid you a warm welcome as well as we come to this harvest Thanksgiving. A different kind of harvest Thanksgiving this year. With all of the restrictions that are around us, the church is not resplendent. Is that the right word? Not resplendent with the normal regalia that we have around harvest. Nonetheless, we have asked over the last number of weeks that you bring dried goods, and we've put some of them on display. Some of them, I have to say, because there is much, much more in the office as well. So thank you for the part that you've played in that. Those goods and those dried goods will be handed over to Lisburn Food Bank, who we're partnering with this year, who had a visit from the Earl of Wessex this week in a mark of their good work in this community. Having said that our service, our decorations are stripped back, our teaching won't be. We will be fed greatly this morning. He's given me one of his looks at the moment. Bishop Ken Clark, a.k.a. Fanta, is with us. And we bid you a warm welcome in this place. And we look forward to what it is that you bring to us a little later. As we begin, we hear God's word read over us. And that's important. And that's a key part of what we do as we gather together as a Christian community. God's word is released over us. And as God's word is released over us, it changes something in the atmosphere in us and around us. We hear some words from Genesis this morning. Noah built an altar to God. He selected clean animals, birds of every species, and offered them as burnt offerings on the altar. God smelled the sweet fragrance and thought to himself, "I never again curse the ground because of people. I know that they have this bent towards evil from an early age, but I never again kill off every living thing as I have just done. For as long as earth lasts, planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never stop." We come to worship a faithful God this morning. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a faithful God who is unchanging. And we call your past faithfulness into our present circumstances. Thank you, Lord, that you are present with us and that in your presence in this place, you would draw us closer to who you are and all that you have done for us. In your name, amen. And so as we do that, as we draw closer to God, we use the words of our confession today. And they'll come on the screen. If you respond with there's a little gap, and then the line comes, "Lord, in your mercy," and you say, "Forgive us and help us. For the times that we have behaved irresponsibly towards your gifts of creation, Lord, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. For the times that we've ignored the spiritual and material needs of those who are not so fortunate as ourselves, Lord, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. For the times that we have failed to proclaim your gospel through indifference, selfishness, or bad example, Lord, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. God is sheer mercy and grace. He's not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag or scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in the full for our wrongs. As high as the heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love for those who fear him. As far as the sun rises from the sunset, he has separated us from our sins. May we receive the forgiveness that God gives to us through his cross and the sacrifice of his son today. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe in God the Father, God Almighty, by whose plan earth and heaven sprang to being, all created things began. We believe in Christ the Saviour, Son of God in human frame, Virgin born, the child of Mary, upon whom the Spirit came. Christ, who on the cross forsaken, like a lamb to slaughter led, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he descended to the dead. We believe in Jesus risen, heaven's King to rule and reign, to the Father's side ascended, till as judge he comes again. We believe in God the Spirit, in one church below, above, saints of God in one communion, one in holiness and love. So by faith our sins forgiven, Christ our Saviour, Lord and friend, we shall rise with him in glory to the life that knows no end. Amen. Please take your seats. It's this point where we come to our children's part, or our children's talk on the service. It's moving into autumn really quickly, isn't it? It's kind of that moment where you kind of step out in the morning and you go, ooh, that's a bit colder than what I thought it was going to be. And leaves are beginning to fall from the trees. We're beginning to see that in our parks and in our streets and in our gardens, maybe. Part of what we were doing for harvest was we sent out harvest packs to children across the community, and we've had loads of stuff returned back to us, sheets of thankfulness, and decorated leaves, which are nicely put around the prayer desk this morning. And there's a wee competition sent out to Harmony Primary and to all the children in the community. Harmony Hill Primary. I knew that wasn't right, never said it. Sent out to all the children in the community and asked them to send them back. And so we'll announce the winner of that in a little moment. But autumn comes in a cycle and in a season, doesn't it? We expected it to happen. It's not a miracle that it happens. But there's another miracle has happened this morning. Now, and I'm not sure anybody would be able to guess what that miracle is. Perfect silence. That's a miracle in and of itself in this place. Even my girls are silent. That's a big miracle. Hannah, what do you think the miracle is? That they got a lie in. Well, that is kind of a miracle in and of itself. That is correct. But here's the miracle. I am in two places at the one time. Now, there you are. I am also preaching in St. Paul's Lisburn this morning. Now, there you are. Not after this service. What about now? Now, there you are. Some of you are thinking, I wish he was there and not here. No, that's not fair. No, come on. But there are miracles happening around us every day. And actually, autumn is a miracle. It's a time and a season of the year whenever the trees teach us that it's time to let go of the things that we can't hold on to anymore. Sometimes we need to give back to God the things that we've carried for far too long. Just like the leaves returning to the ground, we need to give back to God the things that we've carried for far too long. We need to talk to him in prayer and hand over to him the things that he can look after and deal with for us. Maybe that's something we could do this week. Maybe that's something we could do today. As we see the leaves fall around us, let's remember that we have to give back the things that we can't hold any longer to the Lord. Now, having said that, there's something that I can't hold any longer, and that's the prize for the leaf competition. Now, this is a £10 voucher for Froth Coffee Shop. Exactly. Ooh. So thank you to Froth for donating that for us. And so the winner was adjudicated, not by myself, by an independent adjudicator. And the winner is this particular leaf here today. Now, I do believe the person who actually did this leaf is present with us this morning. And so Leah English, well done, Leah. Big round of applause for Leah. There you are, Leah. Super job. Thank you very much. And she had no idea that was coming. She just was here this morning, but she looks exceptionally surprised with a big smile on her face. That's for you to spend, not for Granda, okay? All right, that's it. Tuck it away. That's it. Yes, you're right. James said not for Granda. Okay. We're going to hear God's word tomorrow, this morning from Sarah.
Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out.
Thank you, Sarah. Bishop, if you'd like to come at this point, I'm not sure where you want this. Is that okay there? Okay.
Someone's going to turn me on. Oh, he has turned me on.
He has turned me on.
He might want to turn me off after a few minutes, but anyway.
I wouldn't possibly want to comment on that. It is genuinely lovely to have you with us.
Thank you, James.
And I just want to pray for you before I hand it over.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before your word this morning, for that to be spoken into our hearts and into our minds. And we pray that your spirit enables a willingness within us to receive what you have for us today. Anoint Bishop Ken now in this moment and give him the words to say that he might speak into our hearts and into our community today. In your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much indeed, James. I'm just putting on my phone here. It's not to listen to James and St. Paul's, by the way, but just to see my overheads here. That's great. But thank you so much for the invitation to be here. It is a genuine joy. He hasn't asked me to say this, nor did he know I'm going to say it, but my wife and I've only one wife, Helen, and like James, I have only lived with women. He has lived with three for quite a few years. I lived with five for many years, one wife and four daughters. So James's verse, which is his favorite in the Bible, is the same as mine. You know what it is? "Blessed art thou amongst women." That's what it is. And Helen and I, and actually we'll be married 50 years next year, so that's not bad. The woman is a total saint, absolute saint. I punched above my weight with the wife I got. And although her maiden name was good, she came from County Cork, you know, where they go up and down and all around, you know. And I tell her she was good until she married me, and then she was good no longer, which is true, because she became a clerk. But we both think the world of your rector and his wife and their two girls. You are blessed to have James. He doesn't often hear a compliment from me. Usually we're slagging one another off, as we do in Northern Ireland. And isn't it so funny when you're with people from other parts of the world, they think we're being rude to each other. You know, the things that we say to each other, isn't that right? They don't understand Northern Ireland humour. Mind you, sometimes I don't understand it either. But anyway, but it is quite unique. One of my favourites is the Belfast woman who was describing a friend of hers who had really prominent front teeth. And do you know what she said about her? "Her teeth are so prominent she could eat a tomato through a tennis racket." Now, look at the powers of description that are expressed there. Aren't they fantastic? So, could we move swiftly on to the... Have I got a clicker here, or are you going to... Okay, you're going to do it. Have you heard the latest news flash? There it is. The earth revolves around the sun. This might upset a few out there who still think the world revolves around them. You know people like that. I know people like that. And let's be really honest, sometimes we're like that. The only person who matters is me. Do you know, Harvest Thanksgiving services are so good for a whole variety of reasons. But not least for this reason, we look beyond ourselves. You know, I cannot make things grow in the ground. Well, that's a massive understatement. I am a hopeless gardener. Like, flowers see me coming and they tremble with fear because they know I'll think they're weeds, you know, and that's just the way it is. But we can't make anything grow. As Paul says in the New Testament, it's God who gives the growth. And it's just wonderful that at this time every year, we remember there's somebody far bigger and far greater than ourselves who actually is sovereign over all. The world does not revolve around you and me. And oh my goodness, our culture needs to be reminded of that. Our passage began, and thank you, Sarah, for reading it so clearly, with verse 35 in Matthew chapter 9. And I think in that one verse, we have a little cameo, if you like, or a little picture. It's almost like, haven't we all got used to Zoom this year in 2020? Well, it's almost as if the gospel writer is zooming in on what is this public ministry of Jesus all about? And Matthew tells us here. He teaches in all the towns and villages. He teaches in their synagogues. He preaches, and what does he preach? Good news. The good news of the kingdom. If ever our Western world needed to hear good news, it's in the year 2020. And right at the heart of our Christian faith is what you and I call the gospel. What does that literally mean? Good news. And we have the privilege as Christian people of living out and sharing good news, the good news of the kingdom of God, that God reigns. And notice how the verse finishes. What does Jesus also do? He doesn't just preach and teach. He was healing people with every kind of disease and sickness. You see, Jesus cares for the whole person. Sometimes we can, and we see people just as a body. Or in some parts of the church, we see people just as a soul. Have you ever heard, as we hear sometimes in Northern Ireland, how many souls were saved at that mission? I'm uncomfortable with that, to be honest. When I read the Gospels, I see a Jesus who's concerned not just about our soul, but about our body, about our minds, our mental health, our emotions. He cares for the whole person. That's our Jesus. And that was such a mark of his ministry. Well done, Derry Volge, in all these gifts that are going to the food bank. What is that saying? It's saying that you as a church have caught something of this vision of Jesus. That we're not just soul, we're actually body. And hungry bodies need to be fed. And naked bodies need to be clothed. And people in the cold winter times, need to be kept warm. People need food to eat if they're to survive. The tank needs refilled with some fuel. And it's so good that as a church, we're committed to seeing people the way Jesus sees them. We want to care for mind, body, and soul. That's about. In the next verse, verse 36, and in a way, this is what's behind the whole ministry of Jesus and the life of Jesus. Verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. If there's one thing that's so obvious in the Gospels, it's the compassion of Christ. We'll see that in the next slide. The compassion of Christ. And I want us to think about that for a few minutes today. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Have you noticed in Northern Ireland that one of our favourite pastimes is what? It's what I call people gazing. Have you ever noticed that? We love looking at other people. Like, we lived in Coleraine for 15 years. And you know the ports, Port Stewart, Port Rush. They're invaded every weekend for months in the summer times. And do you know why many people go? To look at everybody else. You see all the cars parked in Port Stewart Prom. Try and find a parking space. And there's people sitting in the cars. never seen, sorry, I mustn't come too close, that I've never seen anywhere else in the world. We seem to look at people with our teeth. Isn't that right? Be honest. It's unbelievable. I would love to get photographs, but I could never show them. We just love looking at people. When I was a young curate, I'll never forget it, I discovered there's another strange phenomenon in the Church of Ireland. And you know what it is? Moving curtains. Moving curtains. Do you remember years ago in the Roman Catholic Church, we heard about moving statues and these statues that, well, when I was a curate and I'd be visiting along one side of a street, do you know what I'd see on the moving curtains? And then I'd go over to the house where the curtains were moving, knock on the door or ring the bell, and somebody comes to me, "Ach, your reverence, I didn't know." Actually, it usually was a she, because if it was a man answered the door, do you know what the man would say for the first time? "I'll go and get the missus for you." And I used to say, "No, I'm here to see you as well." But there is this recreational activity that we have about looking at people. Please be honest. When you and I look at people, what is in our hearts? Honestly. When Jesus looked at people, when Jesus saw the crowds, what was in his heart? Compassion. He had compassion. Matthew 9, verse 36. How is compassion expressed? It's expressed in kindness, thoughtfulness, thinking of other people, not just thinking about ourselves. It's not all about me. It's actually all about him, and it's about them. People that Jesus loves and Jesus died for on the cross. And I wonder, is your life and mine, and is the life of the church today, marked by compassion and kindness and goodness and thoughtfulness and thinking of others? People often, few months, what do you think God is saying to the church today? And that's a good question. And it's a difficult one to answer, but I believe passionately. Do you know one of the things I believe God is saying to the church today? Be kind. Be kind-hearted to one another. Forgiving one another. In other words, have in your heart what is in mine, says God. And that's compassion. Goodness, kindness. Isn't it interesting, when one of the apostles was preaching about Jesus, what did he say about him? He went about doing good. Is that what people would say about you and me? He goes about doing good, she goes about doing good. Oh, that church, oh, they're so kind. And one of the things I will remember this year, 2024, is not the coronavirus, actually. I'm going to be remembering this year for acts of kindness. It is so encouraging to see churches all over the world really committed to and intentional about acts of kindness. And you're one of them. So keep it up, folks, please. This is the way of Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He showed them kindness. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He cared for them passionately. When was the last time you were in a McDonald's? The yellow arches? The drive-through? Recently, I came across this wonderful story of an elderly man in a McDonald's drive-through for the first time. Just listen to it. You will enjoy this, all right? And make sure we listen to the end. It's very short, because there's a surprise for you.
I was in the McDonald's drive-thru this morning, and the young lady behind me leaned on her horn because I was taking too long to place my order. Take the high road, I thought to myself. So, when I got to the first window, I paid for her order along with my own. The cashier must have told her what I'd done, because as we moved up, she leaned out her window and waved to me and mouthed, "Thank you." Obviously embarrassed that I had repaid her rudeness with a kindness. When I got to the second window, I showed them both receipts and took her food too. Now she has to go back to the end of the line to start all over. Don't honk your horn at old people.
Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant? Here's this old man showing this wonderful act of kindness, and then he has second thoughts about it, because that woman had been so rude to him, shouting at him and bawling at him for taking so long to place his order. So he food and enjoys both, and she has to start all over again and go round. Now, that is not, folks, what God is calling us to do. It's a funny story. In fact, it's really a story about an abortion of kindness, isn't it? It started off well, but it didn't finish well in terms of kindness. But the moral of the story is, younger folks, please listen. Don't mess with old men like myself. You never know what might happen. You just never know. We might have a few tricks up our sleeve. But we are called to genuine, authentic kindness. Next slide, please. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Next one, please. I believe this, and this is a strange thing to say, that people today hear with their eyes. People in Northern Ireland are tired of words, in fact, in the whole of Ireland. They're tired of the church just speaking words. Don't say that to me anymore, please. I'm fed up. Would you just live the life? So people don't need to hear us saying our creeds. If those hypocrites, let's be honest, and look at what Jesus said about hypocrites and about hypocrisy. Rick Warren, the famous Christian leader who wrote that book that sold over 60 million copies, Purpose Driven Life, said several hundred years ago there was a reformation of creeds. What the church today needs is a reformation of deeds. In other words, we need to live the life. And people are looking at you and they're looking at me to see, does Jesus make any difference to the way that person lives? And as they look at your life and mine, do they see kindness? Do they see the compassion? Somebody put it like this, and there it's at the bottom of the slide. I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. There's a real truth in that. I remember when I was bishop in Kilmore, Elphin and Arda, one day having diocesan meetings, as we often did in the big town of Longford. And it was the day after a Catholic church in the Republic. And I was dressed just like this. It was lunchtime. We were having a break and I was crossing a road. We were going to get a snack somewhere when a total stranger rolled down the window of his car because he'd seen the clerical collar in my cross. And in the Republic, people don't think Church of Ireland. As soon as they see this, they think you're Roman Catholic. So he thought I was a Roman Catholic bishop. And he shouted at me from his car, right across in the main street, middle of the day, lunchtime. Thought you'd be ashamed to be dressed like that today. There's a lot of anger about creeds not being matched by deeds, by the church not being marked. We need to rediscover that. And I believe we are, just like Jesus. We look at the crowds and we have compassion on them. And how do we see them? Next slide, please. We see them as harassed or harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We see confusion. The next slide too, please, thanks. We see confusion. People are drifting. As Jesus said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. No direction. Wasn't it heartbreaking this week to hear on the news or see on the news about those four students in Newcastle University? All dead, taking drugs. And one was a beautiful, young, talented, gifted girl from County Armagh, had only been in the place about 48 hours. I don't know what the facts are. She may not even have known she was taking this, but she's gone. It's tragic. It's heartbreaking. And there are people in our society today who are just quite frankly lost. And how did this passage begin? Jesus shared good news. People need to hear good news. They need to hear there's hope. There's forgiveness when I've got it wrong. There's a new way. There's a brand new start that we can have. Thank God for the hope we have. Thank God for the good news of the kingdom of God. And you and I have the privilege of seeing people the way Jesus sees them and sharing with them good news. Could I say a thank you to you as a church this morning? Because clearly you have caught something of. And there's a big initiative happening in the church with equipment and audiovisual stuff and all of that and sound, the whole lot. Isn't it amazing how this is so important in our culture today? And it is. But you have caught a vision not just of loving people locally here, but globally as well. And I've been reliably informed you're giving a tithe of what this whole initiative is costing to part of the church in South America. Isn't that correct, Richter? Yes, got it right. Just let at the next slide, because I know the person very, very well that you're linking with, Cristóbal Serrón. There he is. And that's him with his lovely wife and three daughters. What is this about clergy? We keep having daughters. Where are the sons? There's the three daughters. His wife is Ali. She's a wonderful leader as well. Cristóbal is a very gifted chap. In fact, a few years ago, we had him to preach at our big Sam's night of the year, Saturday night of the year, called Friday Night Live. And he was superb. And not only is he pastoring a church in the center of downtown Santiago, that huge city, the capital of Chile. And there's the country of Chile. Look at the length of it. It's 2,500 miles long. Like, that's from Scotland to the Sahara Desert. It's never wider than 110 miles. Incidentally, the founder of Chile was an Irishman. Can you believe it? The influence of people from this island, Bernard O'Higgins. He's the great hero of Chile, the founder of the country. But you're linking with a wonderful initiative spearheaded by Cristóbal Serrón to help in the training and teaching and equipping of people, teaching of the Bible, equipping people for ministry, helping in purchasing audiovisual equipment to facilitate this in that huge, big, long country. So well done, folks. And can I just say, you have no hesitation in supporting somebody like Cristóbal. He is superb. In my humble opinion, he's one of the most gifted leaders in the Anglican Church, not just in Chile, but in South America. And God is really using him. So thank you for what you're giving and doing in terms of support of him. That's living out what we read here. Next, please. Next slide. The Word became flesh, lived among us, full of grace and truth. That's what Jesus did. What's the most famous verse in the Bible? God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And when you and I are in love with Christ and seeking to follow him wholeheartedly, we give. We give of ourselves. We give of our time. We give of our talents. We give of our tithes. We give. We just want to give him everything. This is how we know that love, what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Just like Jesus. And remember why we do this? We do it because he loves us so much and gave everything for us. The next slide, please. The cross is the greatest love story the world has ever seen. And from the cross of Jesus Christ, God says to you and me, I love you this much. Now, with this idea, there may be one or two people here thinking, why on earth did the rector invite that man to a Harvest Thanksgiving service? He hasn't really spoken about Harvest. And this is Harvest Thanksgiving. Excuse me, hold on a minute. Could we press the pause button on that? What does the next verse say here in verse 37. Last two verses of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus then said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send workers out," or to send out workers into his harvest field. And then those first few verses in Matthew 10, what did Jesus do? Calls these disciples to himself, ordinary people like you and me, and what does he do? Sends them out. This is the harvest that God sees in the world today. Not just the food that we eat and all of that, but the primary harvest God sees is a harvest of people. People he loves, people he cares for, people Jesus died for. That's the harvest that God sees. And he wants you and I on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday to catch a fresh vision of that harvest and to love people as he loves them, to show kindness to people as he has shown kindness to us. And God's kindness leads to repentance. I honestly believe that as the people out there see more and more of the kindness and goodness and compassion of Christ in the Church of Christ today, we will see more and more people repenting and coming to faith, because they're seeing not just a better way to live, but the best way to live. They're seeing lived out the good news of the kingdom, the gospel. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your presence with us this morning. Thank you for what you're doing in each one of our lives, for what you're doing in this church. Please, each of us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we may see what you see, and that our hearts may be filled with that compassion that fills yours. Lord, use us in acts of kindness wherever we are, for the glory of your name, we pray. Amen.
We continue in an attitude of prayer. May this eternal truth be always in our hearts, that God, who breathed this world into being, placed stars into the heavens and designed the butterfly's wings, is the God who entrusted his life to the care of ordinary people. He became vulnerable that we might know how strong is the power of love, a mystery so deep it's impossible to grasp, a mystery so beautiful it's impossible to ignore. Today, Lord, we are struck by your kindness towards us. Increase an attitude of kindness in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions as we carry your presence out into these streets. And so we pray for the street that we live on, walk our dog on, buy our milk on, the streets around this place, the streets that you've planted us into. We call to mind those people who we know in those places who need a fresh touch from you today. And may we never underestimate the power of a kind word spoken very simply to one of our neighbours today. We pray for our partner organisations, this Harvest and for Lisburn Food Bank. We thank you for the ministry and the work that they carry out. And Lord, we want to thank you for the partnership of so many different expressions of your church coming together to support this community. We pray for Lindsay and for her team. We seek your hand upon them. Give them wisdom and discernment as they deal with the pressures that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. We pray for Sam's, for Stephen McElhenney, for Christoval, for the teaching and for the encouragement of your people in the nation of Chile. that as we see a harvest in this place, they may see a harvest for you in their place. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. God, that we may use them to your glory for the relief of those in need and for our own well-being through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. This is going live as well. Like, you can't even start over again, you know. So anyway, as we finish, a few very quick announcements. Last Sunday was our Easter General Vestry. Strange, it was our annual vestry. So thank you to all those who have served in the previous year and for those who have been elected to serve in the incoming year. Andy has been returned as your People's Warden this year, and Jonathan McMurray was elected or nominated by myself as the Rector's Church Warden. And so there are two faces that you'll see about the place at the door and so forth. So, but all of those details are actually on the website. You can have a look at that. It'll be on our next magazine as well. Small Steps service, so maybe you know someone who still is feeling uncomfortable maybe about coming out to a Sunday service. We're doing a said service of morning prayer, short, sort of 20-minute service beginning this Tuesday at 10 a.m. You're also welcome to come to that if you feel you wish to as well. That's not a problem. That's Small Steps this Tuesday. We are, well, beginning some smaller study groups. Some of those will be in person here in this building, and others will be, like a bishop talked about, on Zoom for the technologically minded amongst us. If you think that's something that you might be a part of, we're going to follow the teaching series. It won't begin for a few weeks. We're going to follow what we do on a Sunday into a midweek. So you can do that either in your home or you can come here one night in the week. More details about that will come. But to give us an idea, you can sign up online. There'll be a link to do that. Or there's a physical sign-up sheet at the door on the way out today. Just gives us an idea of numbers and what way we can work it. If you would do that, that would be fantastic. As Fonda had already alluded to, and as I've done over the last number of weeks, our harvest offering this year is going to the joint project of our own audiovisual system and the one in Chile, along with Cristobal. And that's about sowing the seeds, not only here for us as we gather physically, but as we go online into our community, but also as we sow seeds in the nation of Chile, helping to instill and plant new church leaders in that country and give them the capabilities to do that. So please do give generously to that. And you can also sign up over a year to do that as well. And all those details are on our website, or you can get them from me if you would wish to sign up through direct debit for that project for the next 12 months as well. The baskets obviously are at the door on the way out, so we would love you to contribute to that. If you're watching online, if you follow the resources section of our website, you'll find all the details there where you're able to give to us as a parish or indeed to that project. It's great to finish. It is good to finish. It's good to finish well. And it's lovely to see us standing about on a good dry day like today and having conversations outside, because that's what it's about as well. Please be mindful of social distancing whenever we're doing that as well. I just want to thank you for the way in which we're doing it and continue to do it whenever we are here. Thank you for taking all those precautions that you already do. It's just good to be reminded every so often of that as well. We're going to close today with some words on our screen, hopefully. Yep, he's nodding at me, that's good. And you can join in with all the time. You join in with the line at the very bottom, okay? So we began this worship with thanksgiving. I call on you now to move out into the world with thanksgiving. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Thanksgiving enhance the joys you experience. Thanksgiving transcend the pains you may suffer. Thanksgiving sweeten the duties you may perform. Thanksgiving underpin even the griefs you may have to endure. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So may the love of the Father, the saving grace of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. 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 Thank you very much.